welcome into another edition of Jags of the Round Table before the Steelers and Jaguars coming up tomorrow at Everbank Field. Let's get right into it, guys. What is a good performance moving forward for Blake Bortles, and when does winning become a good performance?
Well, as we talked about, Ryan, he talked that winning was the only measure, and it's not going to be a good game until he wins. I don't know that that's true for him yet. I think in a year that will be true. For right now, I think it's still okay to see progress. I thought last week was a good performance, and they didn't win. You want to see that extended, but I don't think you're under pressure for him. If you don't win, it's a bad game.
Well, I don't think he's under any pressure, but I'll go with the winning. You know, I mean, that's what he said. He said he was asked the question this week, when will you say you played good? He goes, when I complete every pass and when we score on every drive. So, I mean, I like that about him. Sure. I like the fact that he wants to be at his best every week. And you know what? We judge quarterbacks in this league on winning. That's, you know, no one remembers how many games Dan Marino won, but they know how many Super Bowls he won, right? None. So I think overall, I think winning is the key, and why not just apply the standard and see if he gets one?
But at this stage, we're still sitting
logically,
here.
Logically, you're absolutely right.
Feeling good about him.
Sure.
If he plays well for a few games and then starts winning.
Absolutely. But the fans want to see a win.
Absolutely.
So
well, so do we.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
That's who knows?
A lot of parts around Bortles have changed, guys in and out of the lineup. And again, this week, A. Sanders is back. Lee is out. Schwartz is out. But who can he rely on to play consistently around him today?
Well, I mean, this is why your argument makes the most sense, because there have been so many different things he's had to deal with already. You know what? I'm going to go to the offensive line, and I think that he can count on Luke Polanco to play consistently for him. I've been impressed with what I've seen from him so far. And Brandon Linder, the two rookies inside, have done a really nice job. Sam Young has done a pretty good job. The offensive line was horrendous in Washington, and they've gotten better the last couple weeks, so I think he can rely on them to play consistently.
Well, and I think you'll see that trend continue. It feels like the offensive line is getting better, maybe in baby steps, but it's getting better.
Right.
I think you'll see the receivers play better. Hearns and Robinson are getting to that point where they've played enough. I don't know if it's going to be full consistency, but I think they'll start playing better. So I think Blake's going to start being able to rely on those guys. I don't know that it's realistic with this young offense to really expect real consistency yet, although you'd love to see it.
But that's what he said is the standard. He
sure
said that's the problem. We're not consistent. So
we've heard a lot of comparisons between Blake Bortles and Ben Roethlisberger. But for those aside, there are a lot of weapons around Big Ben and the Steelers' offense. How do you stop Roethlisberger
today? Well, interesting that even Ben said there was a comparison this week. So there's something there that's real. As far as stopping Ben, you've got to hit him and you've got to get him down. You've also got to accept a little bit that even when you hit him, he's going to make some big plays. The Steelers are going to score some points, and Ben's playing at maybe the highest level he's played in a long time. But it's still like anything. You've got to hit him with the idea that you've got to hit him maybe a little harder and hit him a little longer than you would a normal quarterback. But he's going to get his plays, but like any quarterback, it's pressure.
I had a coach tell me this week that when you hit Ben, he's more accurate. You know, the more that you pound him, doesn't matter. He is able to drill down and focus in and get the ball out. I think you've got to cover Antonio Brown and Heath Miller. I mean, Roethlisberger's going to make plays, and it's really tough to bring him down. He does not get sacked all that often because he's not easy to bring to the ground. So you better cover his weapons.
You mentioned a tight end in there, too, and the Jags have had some issues at times this
year. Heath Miller's really good
with tight ends. Holes in the secondary for this Jags team. Winston Guy's no longer on the team, but you know, receivers running free with San Diego last week. How do you fill those holes in the secondary?
I think Demetrius McCray will fill it pretty well. He's a guy that I've been watching since training camp came on. In fact, I called him one of the young lions in camp because I was expecting him to take that step forward. It looks like maybe now is his time. He didn't play very poorly last week. I mean, Malcolm Floyd made an amazing catch. And on that play on the sideline that was eventually overturned that Keenan Allen made, he was right there. He had great technique and was in a position to make it. I think he's ready to rise to the challenge, and I think Dwayne Gratz was in danger of being benched anyway because he wasn't playing very well. I think this is Demetrius McCray's moment to claim that starting job.
Had been benched a couple of times, Gratz has. You know, I don't think the secondary as a whole this season has played maybe as poorly as they did against San Diego. They really tried to take away the middle of the field and gave up a lot outside in that game. But I think Antonio Brown is maybe their biggest challenge of the year, as much as you hate to say that because San Diego passed so well. This guy might be the best receiver in the league right now. But there's not much you can do to actually fill the holes. You've just got to cover better, and you've got to stay on task. Most of their problem has been a big play here, a big play there. It's been a missed assignment rather than lack of ability. You just got to play better against this team.
Let's finish with this. Jags are home. Start of 3 out of 4 games in the month of October here at Everbank Field. But the Steelers traditionally have fans everywhere, it seems like. They'll probably have 15, 20,000 mm-hmm. terrible towels in the stadium. Is that a good or a bad thing for this
team? Well, I think it's a good thing. I mean, it's Florida, and the Dolphins don't sell out. The Bucks, other than a small window, you know, don't sell out. And so I think you're going to have seats here that need to be filled, and why not have them be filled with people who are bringing their money and spending it in your stadium? They're buying your tickets, they're buying your beers, they're staying in your hotels and your restaurants. I think it's a good thing for Jacksonville for the stadium to be full. Would you like it to be all Jaguars fans? Yeah. Is that logical? Probably not.
Not right now, but I think you're going to get back to the point that's a little more logical. Steelers, Bears, there are certain teams that are going to travel, the Packers. There are certain teams that are going to fill other teams' stadiums a little bit everywhere. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. It's how it's going to be, and you've just got to play through it.
It's a small market with a big stadium. That has been the case since the beginning around here. And Steeler fans travel well. It's going to happen. You might as well embrace it.
I bet there's some people in that town, I mean, in that stadium on Sunday, who have something to say about who's loudest.
All right. Well, that'll be fun. That'd be good for the Jaguars.
I like that. Steelers-Jaguars games are always fun. We got one tomorrow here at Everbank Field. We'll be back with you next week before the Jags travel to Nashville to take on the Titans.